Guys, I want to talk to you about something that is just really, really kind of burning on my heart. As I was praying this week, the Lord dropped this message in my heart, and I want you to think with me a little bit, and this might even be something that you can answer this question. What are some words that you use to describe God? Anybody? What are some words that we use to describe God? Not everybody at once. Love. I love that. In fact, the Bible says what? God is love. That's a great one. You know, when we talk about Him being a good Father, obviously love is such an important characteristic, something that is so, so valuable. Anybody else? Kevin? Forgiveness. Hey, that's a good one. Aren't you glad God forgives? Now, I think it's tied to the first one. He loves us, and He forgives us, okay? He gives us second chances. Look, guys, if God didn't give us second chances, none of us would be here today. Amen? How many have used at least two chances with God? That would be everybody, okay? All of us are thankful for the love of God and the forgiveness of God. Ms. Robin, what you got? He's a provider. One of His names in Hebrew is what? Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Aren't you glad He provides for you? He takes care of you. The Bible tells us I was once young and now I'm old. By the way, that means more to me as I get older. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. What does that mean? God takes care of His people. Amen. What are some other things that characterize God? Sovereign. Yeah, He's sovereign. He's God. He knows so much more than we know, okay? He's got plans and purposes for our lives, and some of us are walking in that. Some of us have yet to discover all of that, and that's an amazing attribute of God. Anybody else? This is good. Amen. Omnipotent. He's all-knowing. Man, there's nothing He don't know, okay? He knows everything, okay? What's good? Strength. Wow, He's strong, isn't He? He's strong. You know, we were singing earlier today that He's for you. He's not against you. Who can stop our God? It's a rhetorical question. Nobody. Amen? Because He's strong. He's powerful. And the great news is He's for you and not against you. Look, we could go on and on with these characteristics, and all these are great, great answers. And I wrote down several of these things. He's loving. He's gracious. Man, where would we be without God's grace? He's merciful. He's good. He's just. He's kind. But today I want to talk about a characteristic of God that is so important and it's so true, and it's His faithfulness. Aren't you glad God is faithful? You know, you've heard me say this before, that God's been faithful to me even at times when I haven't been so faithful to Him. Aren't you glad that His faithfulness, kind of like His goodness, kind of like His love, is a constant? Amen? Our faithfulness is not always a constant, okay? But His faithfulness is an absolute constant. And today I want to just remind you again of God's faithfulness. And we're going to look at the story of Abraham. So if you have your Bibles, you have your Bible apps, open to Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12, and we're going to look at the faithfulness of God as illustrated through the life of Abraham, that great patriarch, the father of faith. And we're going to kind of jump through several different chapters, but I want to remind you guys that God is faithful. Some of you are going through things today, and you need to be reminded this morning that God is faithful. Some of you are believing for healing or believing for salvation of a loved one or believing for some breakthrough in your family or at work or wherever, and you need to be reminded this morning, God is faithful. Amen? So I just want to encourage you today to allow the faithfulness of God to just be an encouragement to you this morning. Because you know what? God was faithful to Abraham, and He'll be faithful to you as well, because the Bible says He's no respecter of persons. That means He didn't love the patriarch Abraham any more, any less than He loves you. So if he said He's going to do it, He's going to do it. So those of you that have been standing on promises for a little while, keep standing. Keep believing, because our God is faithful. Let's pray together, can we? Lord, I just ask today, Lord God, that the truth of this message, the truth of Your faithfulness, will just sink deep in our hearts. God, I'm asking You right now, God, those that are believing You for breakthrough, those of you that are believing You for increase, those of you that are believing for some loved one's salvation or some miracle or some sign or wonder, God, I just pray that You would just continue to show Yourself faithful. Just like You were faithful to Abraham, be faithful to these, Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at God's faithfulness as illustrated in the life of Abraham. The first first thing we need to look at is, what's the definition of faithful? The definition of faithful, I looked it up, it says this: remaining loyal and steadfast. True to the facts are the original. I like that. God is the original when it comes to faithful, okay? Faithfulness is compared to the original, okay? It's compared to God. God is the epitome of faithfulness, and that is so illustrated in the life of Abraham. So let's get to it. Genesis is an even better book, though. Genesis chapter number 12, we begin hearing about Abraham. I'm reading, I think, out of the New King James Version this morning. And we're going to look at Genesis chapter number 12, the first four verses. This right here is the beginning of the promise to Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, if you will. A covenant is an agreement between God and man, okay? God makes a promise. God says this is going to happen. When God says something's going to happen, how many know it's going to happen? Sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes there's delays, but there's never denials when God speaks something. Amen? So let's see what God speaks to Abraham. Abraham begins in Genesis chapter number 12. Let's read it. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land I will show you. And I will make you a great nation.'" Look at this promise. "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So here's a promise. God speaks to Abram, and he tells him what to do, and he tells him how he's going to bless him if he does it. And look at Abram's response. Verse number 4. "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran." This is Abraham's call. This is where Abram was called by God. He was commissioned by God. He was given a promise by God. It's worth noting, guys, that God has called each and every one of us as well. Now, what he may be calling us is maybe not as significant as what he called Abraham to do, but it requires just as much faith. Amen? What's the key to us talking about Abram today? His faith. When you think of the word Abraham, you think of faith, the father of faith. And you know what, guys? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 and 6 that without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. Simple question here. How many by a show of hands want to please God? IQ question, just making sure you're awake, okay? Guys, if you don't want to please God, you are missing the mark, okay? Again, we as Christians, we as believers should want to please God. And an absolute essential ingredient to pleasing God is faith. Could you imagine trying to make a gumbo without a root? Now, I know you can do it, but you shouldn't do it, okay? But could you imagine trying to cook Cajun food without Tony's ashtrays? Again, I know you can do it, but you shouldn't, okay? Or maybe trying to boil seafood without Zatarain's or without seasoning, okay? By the way, if you want to know what that tastes like, go to a Chinese restaurant. They do it all the time, okay? They're good at Chinese, but seafood, right, they ought to stop it, okay? But here's the deal. There's essential ingredients that are necessary, okay? If you're going to cook Cajun food, you got to know how to do a roux, okay? You got to have a Magnolite or a Black Iron Pot. You got to have some essentials, right? Well, when it comes to the Christian walk, an essential is faith. You got to have it. And Abram had faith. He had faith that God had made him a promise, that God had said something was going to happen, and he believed it. See, here's the interesting thing about a promise. A promise is only as good as the person giving it. You know, it's politics season. It's election season. There's a lot of promises being made. I'm sure they mean well. But how many have ever been given a promise and that person didn't follow through? How many have ever had somebody tell them one thing, Grace, and do something else? You ever had that happen? Okay. A promise is only as good as who gives it to you. Okay? Now, we all know people we can trust. We all have people that we think we can trust, okay? And for the most part, they've never let us down. Well, guys, when God gives you a promise, you can bank on it. Amen? You don't have to call and check if the funds are there. You don't have to check you can trust that he's good for it. Okay? Why? Because he's God. And he's all those things that we talked about wrapped into one. But Abram trusted that God was able to keep his promises. And guys, you and I today, if you can get one thing out of this sermon today, be reminded that God is able to keep his promises. There's nothing too difficult for him. He loves Abraham. He loves you. He's made promises to Abraham, and he has fulfilled every one of them. And he's made promises to you and me as well, and he intends to keep all of them as well. You see, guys, just like Abraham, we're all called to something. God has called every one of us to a divine purpose. Amen? He's called Philip Babineau to lead us into worship at times like this, and he does an amazing job of it. He's called Pastor Ronnie to minister to students and to make a difference in teenagers' lives, and he's great at it. Amen? He's called me to lead this great church, and God's blessed us because of it. He's called each and every one of us to some pretty amazing things. And guys, I just want to let you know that God is calling you to something greater as well. Amen? But it's going to take faith. It's going to take you trusting God. You see, many are given promises by God. Many of you are in here and there's promises. How many are standing on a promise of God? How many have read something in the Bible? How many have heard something in prayer? How many have been told something you believe by the Lord and you're standing on it? Anybody? Okay, well, just like Abraham, you've been given a promise. Now, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to stand on it? Are you going to believe it? Or are you just going to kind of put it to the side and say, well, maybe I miss God? You see, at 75 years of age, God gave Abram a promise. At 75 years of age, he said, Abram, here's what I'm going to do through you, okay? Now, sometimes it takes a while for a promise to come into reality, and we're going to read more about that, but never doubt that if God's given you a promise, he intends to keep it. So I just want to challenge you today. If there's a promise you've been holding on to, don't stop believing. Don't stop trusting. If there's something that God has spoken to your heart or you read in the Word and it resonated in your heart, don't stop believing. Don't stop believing for that loved one's salvation. Don't stop praying for them. Don't stop believing for your healing. You know, guys, I've been here for 3 years, and I prayed for some of you many, many times, and we've yet to see that complete and total healing. Sister Gail, I'm still believing for full restoration of your kidneys. Amen? When we get a little uptick from the doctor, I get excited, but I'm not satisfied yet. Don't stop believing, because we serve a God who's able. Amen? He's able to do what the doctors cannot do. He's able to do more than the doctors can even do. Guys, don't stop believing. Some of you are standing and believing for some type of miracle or breakthrough. Don't stop believing. Why? Because God is faithful. So, let's continue with the story of Abraham. Jump down to Genesis chapter number 15. So, God gave Abram a promise. And in chapter number 15, we read verse number 1. After these things, we're going to read down through verse number 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven. Count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him as righteousness. You see, right here, God reassures Abram. Apparently, it's been a few years. In fact, the very first phrase in verse 15, in chapter 15 is, after these things. What had gone on in Abraham's life? Well, here's the deal. He was obedient. He left his hometown, and he began to journey with the Lord. And here's what he went through. He went through some tough times. He went through some trials. He went through famine. He had trouble in Egypt. He had trouble with his traveling companion, Lot. He got into wars. He had to fight battles. He had to rescue people. A lot of ups and downs. And the truth be known, there was more downs than ups. Does that describe any of your life? Does it seem sometimes that you take one step forward and two steps back? Well, surely Abram believed this. Surely Abram figured that he was like, I'm trying to be obedient, God. I'm trying to do what you're telling me to do, but it seems like things aren't working out. Anybody can relate? If we just be honest for a second, can anybody relate? There have been times in my life that I'm doing everything I think right toward the Lord, and it doesn't work out. what's going on, God? It feels like my prayers are getting no higher than the roof. Anybody been there? But here's the deal. Abraham kept believing. And God encouraged him. And you know what God's doing today through this message? He's trying to encourage you too. He's trying to remind you how faithful he really is. But don't stop believing. See, God reassured Abraham of his promise. He needed this because there had been many ups and downs since the initial promise. And a lot more downs than ups. Sounds familiar. We've all been like that. See, I've said this many times. If the devil can't defeat you, and he can't unless you let him, he'll settle for distracting you or discouraging you. Guys, look, discouragement is a tool of the evil one. He tries to get you discouraged. He tries to get you to question God's goodness. He tries to get you to question the promises of God. He tries to even get you to question your own salvation. He does all this stuff because he is the father of lies, the accuser of the brethren. But you need to put him in his place this morning and say, I'm believing God. Amen? Because our God is faithful. You know, sometimes we let circumstances discourage us. We've all been there. Don't do it. Fix your eyes on the promise. Fix your eyes on the promise. I've told this story once or twice before, but Brother Rose tells stories 20 times, so I can get away with it. You know, when I first got saved, that was for you, Harry, okay? When I first got saved, guys, I was the spiritual patriarch of my family. First person to come to faith, okay? 20 years old, that's pretty good responsibility right there, huh? Well, immediately I began to pray for my loved ones. I prayed for my mom, my dad, aunts, and uncles. And guess what? Those prayers were so powerful and so amazing, nobody got saved and some people got worse. But here's the deal, I didn't stop praying. I'm so glad I didn't stop praying. Because in the 25 years since I got saved, I've had the privilege leading my mom, my dad to faith, of leading every one of my dad's brothers to faith. Amen? In fact, we had an evangelist come about 6 months after I got saved. Turn your phone off, turn your phone off. All right, so I had a list of loved ones, a list of people that I were praying for, okay? And again, they began to get worse at first, but I kept praying. I didn't stop believing. And I was able to lead every one of those people to Jesus. Now, do I tell that story to brag on me? No, I tell that story to brag on God. Amen? Because look, I'm not able to do anything eternal. Only God's able to do that. But if you don't stop believing, if you'll stand on the promises, if you'll pray, like look, how many got a lost loved one? How many got somebody they love that doesn't know Jesus? 2 Peter 3:9 is a prayer you need to pray over them. I prayed it over my loved ones every day. What is that promise? The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but long-suffering, patient, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9, write that down. Pray that over your lost loved ones. I reminded God every day in prayer, God, you don't mean for any to perish. That includes my mom, that includes my dad, that includes my aunts and my uncles, my loved ones. I prayed over them every day. And you know what? Because of that, there's a reunion waiting in glory. Amen. Because of that, at times when I sing that song, Good, Good Father, we played that at my dad's funeral. And every time I hear that song, for a moment I get sad, but then instantly I think, something's not lost when you know where it is. I'm going to see my dad again. And that's the faith that I have, and it's the faith that you have too. Why do I tell you that story, friend? Because God is faithful. Don't stop believing. Let God's faithfulness, today is God's way of reassuring you and encouraging you that he is faithful and that your answer, your breakthrough is on the way. Amen. Let me read you a quote that I read on Facebook this week. Good stuff. It says this. G. Campbell Morgan once said, which do you focus on? The circumstances which confront you or your calling which surmounts any circumstance? God hasn't called any of us to fail, but that we might be overcoming children of the Most High. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that called you who will also do it. Amen? God called Abraham, and he accomplished great things in Abraham's life, and he's called you and me as well. He's given us promises, and he's faithful to do it. Amen? Let's continue reading. Chapter number 16, verses 1 through 4. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. There's a problem. they're in their 80s now, and God has promised to give them children and give them an inheritance, and they don't have any kids yet. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children by her." And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. By the way, there's good marriage advice. Listen to your wife. Even though the wife was wrong right here, but that's a different sermon for a different day. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he's about 85 right now. So he went into Hagar, she conceived, and when they saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Look, guys, this right here is just proven that even great men of faith have moments of weakness, okay? Because Abraham decided to help God out. Anybody ever thought about helping God out? Any of you ever thought, "God, you're taking too long. You probably need my help." Anybody? Don't do it. Okay? Don't do it, because we've been dealing with this mistake for thousands of years. Amen? The problems in the Middle East are because of this mistake, because of this impatience. Amen? Don't become impatient. Don't get impatient. You know, the longest point between two places is a shortcut. This was a shortcut. It's like, "God, you apparently need our help, okay? And here's what we're going to do." Big boo-boo. Don't try to help God up. Don't try to speed up the process. Trust the process. Amen? In fact, often if you have to make it happen, it might not be God. Let me say that again. If you have to make it happen, it might not be God. Okay? God had given Abram a promise. God had given this family a promise, and they said, "God, you probably need our help." God doesn't need your help. Amen? Trust Him. He's faithful. He's able to work things out. You've just got to trust the process. At salvation of a loved one, guys, if you could get them saved, they'd already be saved. If you could convince them, if you could talk them into it, if you could drag them into this church, you would have done that. It doesn't work like that. Amen? You got to trust God. Whatever you're believing God for, don't stop believing. Amen? But Abraham and Sarah grew impatient, and we're still dealing with that mistake today. Now, let's look at chapter 17. Something significant happens. Again, the point of this message is God is faithful. Look at chapter 17, number one, verse number one. When Abram was 99 years old, God, have you forgotten about me? How old was he when he first got the promise? 75. Do the math. 24 years have passed. And Abram was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham." Guys, that's significant, okay? Names declare destiny, okay? And Abram is an exalted father. Friday night when Hayden had 15 tackles, 4 fumble recoveries, I was an exalted father. I felt pretty good, okay? Ron, I was excited. I was like, "He got another one," okay? In the natural, you can be an exalted father. You can be proud of your children. That can exalt you. That can lift you up. But only God can make you a father of nations. And see, something significant happened right here in the life of Abram. He went from an exalted father to a man of influence to a man of God. God can exalt you. Only God can exalt you. And this is what happened in Abram. He went from an exalted man to a father of many nations. Guys, don't settle for just good when God wants to make you great. Don't just settle for a little bit of a breakthrough when God wants to do great and mighty things through you. So we continue with the story. "But your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you. Kings shall come from you." This is good stuff. "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." God promises relationship right here. Now, the rest of the chapter has to do with the cutting away of the flesh. Look, guys, if you're going to get closer to God, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you pride. It's going to cost something of yourself. You're going to have to cut away some flesh. Amen? God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be closer to Him in so many ways. It's going to cost you something, but that's not today's message. Now, look at chapter number 18. We're almost to the promise. God reassures Abraham one more time. Wow, this guy needed a lot of reassurance. Yeah, you and I do too. Amen? It takes sometimes where we got to get reassured. We got to just be reminded God's still for us. Chapter number 18, verses 1 and 2. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, bowed himself to the ground. See, he recognized the presence of the Lord. He honored that. Verses 9 through 15, we read their interaction. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of the life, and behold, Sarah shall have a son." Now, how old are they right now? 99 to 100. Okay? I use this illustration all the time. If Brother Bernie and Sister Annalise said they were having a child, we'd be like, "What?" That would be one kind of announcement right there, huh? Okay? I have an announcement this morning. That ain't it. Okay? That'd be a good one. That'd make for an interesting Joy Fellowship Thursday. Okay? But here's the deal. God said Abraham and Sarah's going to have a baby. Okay? And guess how they responded? Just like you just did. They laughed. They said, "How can this be?" Okay? Everybody want to give Brother Bernie high fives? It's like, whoa, good job, dude. Sarah. Get back to your notes, preacher. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" Again, the response by Sarah was just like your response. This cannot happen. The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old?" Look at this, guys. If you write things down in your Bible, if you underline things in your Bible, underline this. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for Him? Is anything too difficult for Him? Is there anything He cannot do? Again, it's a rhetorical question. No, there's nothing too difficult for Him. "At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of this life, and Sarah shall have a son." Guys, again, God reassures Abraham one more time. Notice, this is after Abraham's faith had been weak. They tried to help God out with the Ishmael thing. God knows when to encourage us. And that's why I'm preaching this message today. God knows you need encouragement. God knows you need to be asking the question, is anything too difficult for Him? Because the answer's on the way, friends. Hang on to your promise. Trust the process. Trust the Lord of the process. You know, we've all been through trying times. Abraham had been through some difficult times. God had at this opportunity, told him of Sodom and Gomorrah going to be destroyed and another situation. And so many things were going on in his life. You know what, guys? Our faith journey can be a tough journey sometimes. But God is with you. You're not alone. I wrap things up with Genesis chapter number 21. After all this time, after some 25 years, after many ups and many downs, Abraham is continuing to be encouraged by God that he's faithful. And in chapter number 21, we read, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God has commanded." Now, Abraham was 100 years old. Wow. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, "God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me." She also said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age." God kept his promise to Abraham. And friends, he's going to keep his promise to you as well. Amen? What do you believe in God for? Don't stop believing. This whole process took some 25 years. Many ups and downs, but God kept his promise to Abraham, and he will keep his promise to you, to me, and this great church. As Philip comes and begins to play softly, you know, I could share many testimonies of God's faithfulness. I already told you about how he allowed me to lead many of my loved ones to the Lord, and that's a great testimony of his faithfulness. We could tell the story of how for 3 years we tried to have Hunter, and wave at us, Hunter. There he is, 18 years later. We could tell that story. We could tell of how one time Hayden was diagnosed with asthma. Okay, you watched him running around the field making 15-plus tackles, being a defensive giant out there. Didn't look pretty good for a kid running around with asthma, huh? Okay, God healed him. God's been faithful to us. But you know what? He's also been faithful to this church. I have a letter that I'd like to read for you. This is probably the worst-kept secret in the area. Okay? At the end of this month, we're going to be merging with Pastor Randy Pleslaw's church. 20 years ago, this church had some troubled times. You'll turn Phil down just a little bit. 20 years ago, this church had been through some very challenging times. And for those of you that don't know our church, way back then it went through two different splits. Church splits are never good. They're horrible. It's like a divorce. There's no winners. But I'm reading to you a letter that Brother Randy is sending to our district, and he gave it to me, and I want to announce it today. It says, this letter is to inform my district leadership that Promised Land Fellowship Church will be merging with Lighthouse Community Church in Berwick, Louisiana. This is set to take place on Sunday, October the 6th. Sunday, October the 6th. We are excited about merging with a great church and with great things that are in store for us all. Guys, God is faithful. 20 years ago, some great challenges were in front of this church. 20 years later, God has brought restoration and God has brought healing. Why? Because God is faithful. Amen? I believe with all of my heart that this is the will of God. Amen? It's a way for us to right a wrong. It's a way for us to proclaim to the community that the church, though not perfect, is forgiven. And we believe in restoration. And we believe in a faithful God who's even able, in spite of ourselves sometimes, to do the right thing. So, guys, I'm so excited about that. Be praying for us. Be praying for Pastor Randy. Be praying for his church. As we come together, guys, I believe, well, right over Phil's shoulder, there's a sign that says, unity attracts his presence. And I believe something as significant as two churches coming back together that had been separated for some 20 years pleases God. And it's pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And unity attracts His presence. As I close this morning, you know, God keeps His promises because He's faithful. God's kept His promises to the Seneca family. He's kept His promises to this church. And He'll keep His promises to you.